Well, there's a great passage in the book of Acts. I don't want you to turn there, but it's in Acts chapter 20. Paul is on his way to Jerusalem, and he stops in Asia Minor, and he meets with the elders. That's the leaders from the church of Ephesus. And it's very special because Paul gives instruction to these leaders. He gathers them together, and he talks to them. He talks about their role in the local body, and he gives a warning. He says that they must guard the church in two areas. And he talks about it. He says, now, you leaders in the local body, you must guard the church in two areas. One is from within, the other is from without. From within. And he goes on to explain. He says, within the body there might be and there will be divisive people who will rise up to pull groups to themselves. Divisive people. And they bring division and hurt within the body. So Paul warns them and he says, be careful. Watch out. They're going to be there. In one of his other letters, Paul writes and actually says, warn divisive people and after that remove them from your body. There is a second area that Paul deals with in that passage. And he talks about from without. And when he talks about from without, he talks about false teachers. He says that there will be people, he describes them as savage wolves who come into the body. They come to destroy the body. They come with false teaching. They come with things that are contrary to the Scripture, to the Word of God. As a pastor and as our board, we have a board of elders and deacons, that's two key areas that we must do as a group of men. We must watch for those areas from within and from out. From within, divisive people. From without, false teaching. Now, as this morning, as we finish up our study of 2 John, John is going to warn. That's his issue. He warns about false teachers coming into the body. He says, don't allow them to come. Look down at verse 10 of 2 John. He says, if anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, he's talking about the teaching about Jesus Christ and the truths, do not receive him into your house. Do not give him a greeting, for the one who gives him a greeting participates in his evil deeds. What he's really saying is don't allow false teachers to come into the body. That's what he says. Well, this morning we're going to finish 2 John and we're going to see these issues of truth and love and false teachers. In fact, we will see in love we're to stand for the truth as we deal with the false teachers. And that's what this passage is about. Let's be reminded of what we've seen as we go through this. We started the study last week after a two-year study in the Gospel of John. We decided that we would look at 2 John and then 3 John. And, of course, John, the author of this little letter, is the one who wrote, of course, the Gospel of John, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and the book of Revelation. In this letter he is writing, it says, to the elect lady. And we brought it up last week and said this could be referring either to a local church that he's writing to a church and he just doesn't give the name and he calls it the elect lady, or he could actually be writing to an individual woman. And he's basically warning her, don't let the false teachers come into your house or come into the place of worship. Because in those days, the churches, they didn't have church buildings like this, and they made in homes. In fact, what we find is this, that as the churches would meet together in homes, teachers would travel around in that day and time. And they would be good teachers, and they would come, and the churches, the house, they opened their homes, the people stayed there, and they let them teach. At the same time, there were also false teachers who went around claiming to follow Jesus Christ, but they didn't, and they taught false things. And what the warning by John is, don't let those false teachers come into the house. And he's not only talking about letting them come into your home, but that idea of letting them be in that local body and teach. So apparently this woman, and we talked about it last week, if it's an individual woman, maybe the church met in her home and she was known for being very open to people and loving and letting them come in. And so he's warning her. He's saying, now look, in love, you reach out to people, but be careful. Don't let the false teachers come in. So it's pretty powerful. Last week we looked at the first six verses. And if you remember, the words that just stood out were love and truth. Look at verse 1. It says, the elder to the chosen lady and her children whom I love in truth. He ends the verse by saying, know the truth. In verse 3, he ends the verse with going in love and in truth. In verse 4, he says, I'm really glad that I find you walking in truth. In verse 5, he says, I want you to love one another. In verse 6, he says, this is love, that you walk according to the commandments. So what we see in those first six verses, he keeps going over and over, love and truth, love and truth, love and truth. And that is the key. You love, but it must be in truth. It's got to be balanced. Look at verse 4. I was very glad to find your children walking in truth. That's the key. That means living by the Scriptures. Then look at verse 5. And now I ask you, lady, not as writing to you a new commandment, this is not anything new, but the one which we have heard from the beginning, that we are to love one another. They go together, love and truth. Look at verse 6. And this is love. I mean, this is love, that we walk according to His commandments. That's the truth of God's Word. So in those first six verses that we saw last week, he talked about love and truth and going together. Now, as we finish the letter and we look at verses 7 through 13, he really gets into a hard subject, and that's that whole thing of false teachers. And there are a lot of people who want to say, well, I mean, they're not really false. There's some people who messed up a little bit, maybe off a little bit, but false teachers. Well, the truth is there are a lot of false teachers. And we'll see what he has to say. Let me break down this study for you. In verses 7, 8, and 9, he gives the warning about the false teachers. In verses 10 and 11, he gives some instructions. And he literally says, don't allow them to come into your house. Don't allow them to come into the church. And then in verses 12 and 13, that's his closing. And he says, I'm going to come see you. There's a lot of things I'd like to write to you, or a lot of things I'd like to tell you. I don't want to write it down. I'm just going to come see you. So let's see how it fits. Let's start at verse 7. This is where we ended last time. And let's see this warning for the deceivers and for those false teachers. He says, for many deceivers have gone out into the world, those who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. This is the deceiver and the antichrist. Now he starts by saying there are many deceivers who have gone out into the world. Now the word deceiver, that Greek word, literally means to wander away. The idea there is the deceivers are causing people to move away, to wander away from the truth, because they are deceivers. They come with some false teaching. They come to deceive. And it sounds pretty harsh, but that's true. And he says there are false teachers who do that. I want you to see something pretty powerful. Hold your place in 2 John and turn to 2 Peter. That's just going to be a couple of flips back in your book toward the front. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. I want you to see this verse because it is powerful dealing with false teachers. I'll read the verse and then we'll sort of put it together. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, look what he says. But false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will be also false teachers among you, who will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing swift destruction upon themselves. Now, this verse is powerful because he says, just as there were false prophets, he says, there are going to be false teachers among you. Peter is writing this. Of course, John, when John writes, he says, they're already there. When Peter wrote, he says, just as there used to be false prophets, there will be false teachers. John says, they're already here. They're false teachers. Now, notice, because this thing says three things. Number one, he says, just as there were false prophets, there will be false teachers among you. There is a truth that there are false teachers. I'm going to tell you this. You turn on certain channels on the TV, you're going to see some false teachers. You pick up certain books, they're false teaching. You go to certain places, there are false teachers. There is a truth. There are false teachers out there. There's a second thing that he says, and notice it's very powerful. He says, who will secretly introduce destructive heresies. You know what he says? They're going to secretly bring in things that aren't accurate, aren't true. I mean, sometimes you can turn on TV, and sometimes you can pick up a book, and sometimes you can tell right off. You can say, hey, that is way off. But see, some of these guys, they sound right. So be careful. He says they will secretly introduce. They will come in a deceptive way. And notice the third thing, destructive heresies. Heresies are basically things that are just taken too far. They just take a truth or take something and you just go beyond what is already written there. And it's destructive heresies. Let me tell you, if you get into false teaching, it's going to destroy you. You won't know what's right. You won't be able to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. So it's very powerful. And so he says, just be careful. Just as there are false prophets, there will be false teachers. They will secretly introduce destructive heresies. And this verse is so powerful because it says, even denying the master who bought them. They deny Jesus Christ. Now, they may use his name, but they deny that he is the Son of God, that he is the Savior, that salvation is by grace through faith. Okay, go back to 2 John. John writes, there, for many deceivers have gone out into the world. There are false teachers. They've gone out. Now, what exactly does John say that makes them, in a sense, a false teacher? Notice, for many deceivers have gone into the world who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ is coming in the flesh. You know what they're rejecting? They're denying the incarnation. They're denying the fact that Jesus Christ is the Son of God who at a point in time in history became a human being. Galatians 4:4, in the fullness of time, God brought forth his Son born of a woman. John 1:14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Over and over we see in the Scripture a great truth that the Son of God became a human being so he could die on the cross to pay for our sins. When John writes, he says there are certain false teachers who are denying that Jesus Christ ever came in the flesh. Now, I want you to understand that at the time that John writes, this is near the end of the first century, and you get on into the second century, there were two heresies, there were two false teachings about Christ going around. There were a lot, but there are two dealing with this issue. One was this, that Jesus Christ never was a human being. That the one called Jesus of Nazareth was actually a spirit being that looked like a person, that he came from heaven, he just appeared on the earth, and was a phantom being. In fact, that was the word that they would use, that he was really a phantom, he was a spirit being, he wasn't a true person. Well, somebody could say, well, what was wrong with that? Well, if you're not a true person, you can't die for the sins of the world. You can't take the sins of mankind on yourself because the wages of sin is death, and Jesus Christ became a person so he could die, a perfect person, so he could die in our place. So it's very vital. There was a second teaching going around, and it was started by a man by the name of Cerinthius. And here's what he taught. He taught that there was a man named Jesus who, when he was about 30 years old, just an ordinary man, he was baptized by John the Baptist. And when John the Baptist baptized him, the Spirit of the Messiah came upon him. And for 3 years, as he walked on the earth, he did those miracles and everything because it was some spirit involved in him. And then when they put him on the cross, the Spirit left him. What's the problem with that? Well, that Jesus was not the God-man. Jesus was just some man who for a while had a spirit inside of him. And once again, he can't be the one who dies and pays for our sin. It's a false teaching. This was the teaching going around when John writes. So John writes and says, be careful. Many deceivers have gone into the world who do not acknowledge that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. They are rejecting the incarnation, that Jesus became a person and died for us. Now, he makes some very strong statements. And let me tell you, the statements that I make today, I'm making and using the exact same words that he uses. These are not my words, they're his words. Look what he says about false teachers. He says, many deceivers, he calls them deceivers, who have gone into the world, who do not acknowledge Jesus is coming in the flesh. This is the deceiver and the Antichrist. Now, the deceiver means the one who leads people astray, and the Antichrist literally just means the one who is against Christ. Now, you've heard the term Antichrist, especially have been people reading those books, Left Behind series. They've heard of the Antichrist, which is going to be that man of sin who comes to power during the tribulation time period and claims to be God. Well, we call him the Antichrist. In this passage, when he says this false teacher is a deceiver and the Antichrist, he's just saying these false teachers who've gone out are against Christ. They're adversaries to Christ. Listen, this is going to sound bad, but do you know there are people who use the name of Jesus every day in their teaching, and they're not even Christians, and they are false teachers. So you just can't say, well, that guy said Jesus. Be careful. He says these are deceivers and antichrist. So he warns this lady, be careful. There are many of them out there. As a pastor, and as we have a group of men that you have raised up to responsibilities, elders and deacons, we have that twofold responsibility. Guard the body from divisive people and false teachers. Now, how can you tell if somebody is a false teacher? Well, John tells us, first of all, if they deny the incarnation, if they deny the fact that Jesus Christ came and became a human being so he could die for our sins. That's one. But there's something that's helped me. And whenever we teach a study at Countryside, like if we teach a study on the cults, and Chris is doing one on Friday nights. Friday nights he's doing a study on cults. One of the things that's helped me is to look in three areas, okay? Because you could look at so many things, but if you look in three areas, it will help you. One, what do they say about the Bible? Two, what do they say about Christ? Three, what do they say about salvation? Whenever you turn on the television, whenever you're reading a book, whenever you go to a church, whenever you're reading something, if you want to know, is this right or wrong, does it match what the Bible says in those three areas? What about the Bible? What about salvation? What about Jesus Christ? Now think about this. What if you listen to someone, or you look at them on TV, or you read a book, or you get some information? What if they say, here's what we say about the Bible. The Bible is God's Word. It's perfect and true. It is accurate. It's inspired of God and is profitable. It never comes back void. It is exactly perfect and is God's truth. You'd go, pretty good. That's good. What if it talked about Christ and said, Jesus Christ is the Son of God who left the glories of heaven, became a human being, and lived a perfect life, died on the cross to pay for our sins, rose again, ascended into heaven, seated at the right hand of the Father, and is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and one day will come rule on this earth. You go, sounds pretty good. What if they said salvation is a gift? It is by grace you're saved through faith, and not of yourselves, the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. You'd say, sounds pretty good. But what if you hear some things differently? And in those three areas, the Bible, Jesus Christ, and salvation, all of the groups, the false teachers and the false teaching, they always move away from those basic truths. First of all, as far as the Bible is concerned, almost all of the false teachers and false teaching add something to the Scripture. The Mormons, what do you have to have? Not the Bible. The Bible's fine as long as it's the King James Version. But you have to have another testament of Jesus Christ to go along with it so you can understand. And then you've got to have the Pearl of Great Price and the Doctrine of Covenants, the writings of Joseph Smith and Brigham Young. What about Jehovah's Witnesses? Well, you got to have the Watchtower. So you can't just go with the Bible. You have to go with the Watchtower because that's what fits together. What about Christian Science? Well, you got to have the writings of Mary Baker Eddy. That's why there are Christian Science reading rooms all over the place. So you got to have this reading stuff. What about Reverend Sun Moon and the Moonies? You got to have his writings in order to make sure what is right. So they always move away from the Bible to add something else. What about Jesus Christ? You know what the Mormons say? We believe that Jesus Christ was born of the Virgin Mary and the Holy Spirit. The teaching of the Mormon Church, the Church of Jesus Christ, Latter-day Saints, believes that Jesus Christ was born of Adam God and Virgin Mary. Now, Adam God was Adam, who was Adam and Eve, but he's already become a God, and he came back down and had sex with Mary so that they could produce Jesus, who was born in Jerusalem and had three wives. That's that teaching. You may not have known that. It's false teaching. Jehovah's Witnesses say that Jesus Christ is not the God, he's a God. And that he was a created being, that there is a true God, and that who is Jehovah, and that Jesus is a God who was created. The Bible doesn't teach that. What about salvation? Is salvation simply by grace through faith? Not for many groups. In fact, the Mormons have five things you have to do in order to be saved. Other groups as well. In fact, one of the keys of all the false teachings is that there is salvation is not a gift. It is not by grace through faith. So when you deal with those, when you read, when you look, when you make sure that, especially in those three areas, the Bible, salvation, and Jesus Christ, that they match the Scripture. That's a key. So he says, for there are many deceivers have gone into the world, those who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and the Antichrist, those who are against Christ. From there he continues with the warning, but this time he warns the believers. Watch what he says. He warns us. He says, watch yourselves, verse 8. Watch yourselves that you may not lose what we've accomplished, but that you may receive a full reward. You know what he says? Don't get caught up into the false teaching. Guard yourself. Watch yourself. That's why it's important that you study to show yourself approved. A workman need not be ashamed, that you rightly divide the word of God. That's why as a newborn baby, you're to desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow by it. You've got to know the Scripture so that you can know what's false teaching. He says, you watch yourself. I think two things stand out. One, watch yourself so, number one, you won't get infected. You won't get the wrong stuff and you miss the truth. And second is, and he says it very plainly in this verse, watch yourselves that you may not lose what we've accomplished, but that you may receive a full reward. If you get off into a false teaching, you're not going to get all the rewards you would have got if you served and lived for Jesus Christ. And his goal here is for you to receive a full reward. Warren Wiersbe says it this way. He says, it's easy to get detoured in your Christian walk and to lose your spiritual progress, to become involved in false teaching and doctrine. See, our goal is to grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ. Our goal is to serve the living God. Our goal is when we stand before him as a believer and him say, well done, good and faithful servant. But if you get off into false teaching, you're not going to serve him. It's not going to happen. In fact, there's a place, and we're going to look at it a little bit later, but it's in 2 Peter, and he says, be on guard. He says, watch yourself, lest you be carried away by the error of unprincipled men. You will fall from your own steadfastness. He's not talking about losing salvation. He's saying you'll fall from being a growing, vibrant, serving Christian. And that can happen. You can get the wrong stuff and get off to the side before you know it. 2 Peter 1:11, he says, I want you to enter kingdom. He says, you want to have an abundance abundant entrance into the kingdom. He says he wants you to have rewards. Because when we stand before Christ, we want to hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant. So he warns us. He says, be careful. Don't get mixed up in this, lest you lose your rewards. And then he turns to verse 9 and says some powerful things in the warning again. He says, listen, anyone who goes too far and does not abide in this teaching, in the teaching of Christ, does not have God. The one who abides in the teaching, he has both the Father and the Son. Now he says, the one who goes too far, literally it means to go beyond the teaching of the Scripture. Anyone who goes beyond what this says, he says, is not abiding in the teaching of Christ. See, the teaching of Christ is he's the Son of God, he's the Savior. The Bible is God's Word, it's perfect and true. Salvation is a gift. Those basic teachings, he says, if you go beyond that, you don't abide, you don't stay with the teaching of Christ. He says, you're not from God. And then he goes on to say, and the one who abides in the teaching, the one who comes and holds to these things, has both the Father and the Son. Now he's making a strong statement. He says, when those false teachers go around, they don't hold to the truths of the Bible. They don't hold to the teachings of Christ. He says, they're not from God. It's a strong statement. He says, they're not from God. He says, how can you tell? If they hold to the truths of the Bible, they're from God. If they don't hold the truths of the Bible, they're not from God. Now, I said this the first time. I think it could be possible that a person could put their faith in Christ and have eternal life and then get off in the false teaching and maybe teach the wrong things. That can happen. But in this passage, he's saying there are false teachers out there. They're not from God. And you can tell them by what they teach. Be careful. So see, that's one of the keys. It's not their lifestyle you look at. It's their teaching that you look at. Because some of those people live great lifestyles. But you can't go by lifestyle. Because some of us don't live those good lifestyles. And we know Jesus Christ is Savior. And we have eternal life. And we're a child of God. We don't always live like it. There are some people who are false teachers who live a lot better than we do. But they're false teachers. And you got to be careful. Well, he says, listen, be careful. There are false teachers out there. Don't get yourself infected. Don't lose your rewards. But just remember, if they come and they don't have that message, they're not from God. From that, he then moves to some instructions. This is the warning. Now he moves to the instructions. Look what he says. If anyone comes to you and does not, this is verse 10. If anyone comes to you and does not bring the teaching, bring this teaching, do not receive him into your house. Do not give him a greeting, for the one who gives him a greeting participates in the evil deeds. Now, that's a very powerful one. And it says, if anyone comes to you. Now, by the way this is written in the Greek, this is what we call the first class if. Means if and it's true. He's not saying there might be false teachers. He's saying if and it's true, there are false teachers. He says, if and it's true, they come to you, and they have, and they are. He says, if they come to you, and they do not bring this teaching, the teaching of the truths of God's Word, don't receive them into your house. Do not give them the greeting. And I think the context not only is saying don't let them come into your house and fellowship with them in that sense. He's saying don't let them in the body. Don't let them into your local church because the church is met in the houses. He's saying don't let it happen. If they don't come with this teaching, don't let them do it. And look at the strong statement there because it looks a little bit funny because it says do not give them a greeting, for the one who gives them a greeting participates in the evil deeds. Well, I said this in the first series. What does he mean give them a greeting? Is he saying don't say, hi, how you doing? No, he's not saying that. I've had people say, don't talk to them. Don't even give them a greeting. That's not what this means. To give them a greeting, literally in the Greek, says to say you are glad. That's what it says. Don't say you are glad. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're going to be a part with us. Don't say that because you're not glad. You're not going to let them in. You're not going to acknowledge their teaching as truth. You're going to say this is false. You can't come in. You can't be a part of this. And so he says, don't give them the greeting. Don't say you're glad. Because if you say you're glad, if you connect with them, if you approve of it, you're participating in their evil deeds, their false teaching. Boy, this is hard. It's powerful. If you take them in, it shows you're approving what they're saying. I'm glad you're here. No, you're not glad. So he says, if anyone comes to you, and they do, and they don't bring his teaching, don't receive them in. Don't allow them to come into the church. Don't allow them to come into your home in that way. Do not give them a greeting. Don't say you're glad. For the one who gives the greeting, says they're glad, participates, literally shares. It's the koinonia word. It's the Greek word for sharing. You share in their evil deeds. Do you see what kind of words he uses? He calls it evil deeds. Listen, I think there's two things about not taking them in, not identifying with them, not allowing them. It's number one is you don't give them the impression that that their teaching is accurate. Don't let others think that you agree with their teaching. And number two, don't get infected by it. You hear some wrong stuff long enough, you'll start thinking it's right. Or what'll really happen is you won't know what's right anymore. I've had people say to me, well, I hear this and it sounds right, and then I hear this over here and it sounds right. Well, what that means is they're still baby Christians. They're still young because they're still being tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. And in Ephesians 4, he says that he gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, and pastors, teachers for the equipping the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the building of the body of Christ, so that we will no longer be tossed to and fro as children, but we'll grow up and mature in Christ. That's the plan. So if you're saying, I don't know what's right, do you need to keep growing? You need to dig the scripture so you can know what's right, so you won't be tossed back and forth and back and forth, so you can know what to stand for. And so he says, if anybody comes to you and they don't bring his teaching, don't let them in. Don't receive them. Don't give them that greeting. Don't say you agree with them. When people deny Jesus Christ as God and Savior and deny that salvation is simply by grace through faith, and when they say you can lose your salvation and this is this and that is this, listen, y'all, that's false teaching. And we're not strong enough today. We live in a society that says, look, we're all friends. You can say anything you want. We'll let you come to our church and talk. We might not agree with what you say, but we want you to know we're your friend. We're not letting a false teacher up here or in any class. What do you think John would do? What do you think Paul would do? What do you think Peter would do? You cannot do it. Somebody said, well, that doesn't sound very loving. In love, you protect the body. In love, you tell the false teacher that it's false teaching. Look how he ends it. Because he says, look, there's false teachers coming. The instructions don't allow them. Walk in love, walk in truth, dealing with the false teachers. And then he says, having many things to write to you, there are a lot of other things I want to, you know, write. I don't want to do it with paper and ink. I want to come to you and speak face to face that your joy may be made full. He says, there's so many other things I want to say, and I don't want to write it down. I'd rather just come, and it says speak face to face. Literally, it says mouth to mouth. I want to just come, and we can talk face to face, mouth to mouth. I want to explain this to you. I want you to understand what's going on. You've got to know this, he's saying. And then he ends, the children of your chosen sister greet you. And he's either saying this church greets your church, or he's actually saying one of your family members greets you. We don't know, because he just hasn't made it clear on who is he actually addressing. But think about what we've seen, the warning. False teachers are coming. They deny the incarnation. They deny that Jesus Christ is the God-man. He says, watch out. Don't get infected. Don't lose your reward. He says, don't allow them in the church, in the body. And then he says, I'm coming soon. Now, I've got three things I just want to close with in this letter. And what we'll do next week is we'll do 3 John. Now, 3 John's a little bit different. This one is truth. Love must be balanced by the truth. 3 John is truth must be balanced by the love. And we'll see how that ties together. But let me give you three things to think about. The first one is this. You got to be able to recognize false teaching. You have to. Those who reject the incarnation, those who reject Jesus Christ becoming a person and dying and paying for sin, look at those big three areas. What do they say about the Bible? What do they say about salvation? What do they say about Jesus Christ? You've got to know what you believe. You've got to study the Word of God and know what the Bible has to say so that when you hear things that are contrary to the Scripture, you can say, that's not what the Scripture says. I told you this, it just seems like it was a week ago or 2 weeks ago, but it was actually last summer, but I was in that panel discussion thing. I told you about, there were 9 of us in this panel, and we were all lined up, and there was all the way from Church of Christ, Methodist, Seventh-day Adventist, the Mormon, all the way through, and I'm on there. And they gave us these questions ahead of time, questions like, what must a person do to be saved? Can a person lose their salvation? All these kind of questions. And on this whole list of people, this whole row, they're all from this town. I was the only one that said salvation was just by faith in Jesus Christ. Now, one other guy said it was by faith, but if you didn't keep working, you didn't have faith, and so you weren't saved. Now, you think about what I just said. I'm the only one on that panel. Now, there's other good people in this town. But that night on that panel, I'm the only one that said it was just by faith in Christ. There was myself and one other who were the only ones who said that Jesus is the only way of salvation. I quote it. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through Him. He's the only way. Every other person except one other guy said God has other ways for people to get to, you know, if they live as Buddha, it may be Buddha for some, it may be some, but other ways. Listen, Jesus said He's the way, the truth, and the life, and there's nobody comes to the Father except through Him. Who's lying? It isn't Jesus, let me tell you that. One more thing. Myself and one other were the only two on that panel that said that once you put your faith in Christ and you get eternal life, that you are saved and you're saved forever. All the others said you could do something and you would lose your salvation. Ron Rhodes writes this. He says, Jesus taught that there is one personal God who is triune in nature. Now listen to this. Muhammad taught that there's one God, but He can't have a son. Confucius taught that there are many gods. Zoroaster taught there is a good God and a bad God. Buddha taught that the concept of God is irrelevant. And then as Rhodes goes on, he says, obviously, these leaders were not pointing to the same God. If one is right, all the others are wrong. Folks, it's true. Jesus is the truth, the way, the life. He's the one that's right. There are. If you came into this room saying, you know, well, for a guy living in China, maybe it's Confucius. For a guy over there, maybe it's it. Listen, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. There's no other way to the Father except through Me. Acts chapter 4, verse 12, Peter says, there's no other name given under heaven whereby we might be saved except the name Jesus Christ. And there is only one Savior and one way. And you have the truth and you have the responsibility to make that known to the people in this community and throughout the whole world. That's our responsibility. So you got to recognize false teaching. The second thing is you got to guard yourself. Please do it. Guard yourself. Get yourself based on the Word of God. It's your foundation. So two things. So you won't get entangled and messed up and infected. And second is you won't lose your rewards. 2 Peter 3:17, I quoted it a while ago. Let me read it to you. It says, therefore, my beloved, knowing this beforehand, be on your guard, lest being carried away by the error of unprincipled men, you fall from your own steadfastness. There's going to be a time that every one of us in this room who know Christ, we're going to stand before Him. Not to determine whether we go to hell or heaven, because that's based on faith in Christ, but to determine our rewards. And He's saying in this passage, if you get off into false teaching, you're not going to have any rewards. You won't hear Him say, well done, good and faithful servant. And then there's the third thing, and it's very powerful, and that is you don't allow false teachers into the local body to teach. That's my goal. Our goal as pastor and our board, our elders, our deacons, it is to guard the flock. It is not to allow false teaching or false teachers into the local body. We got to keep the pulpit clear. Sunday school classes, small groups, it all must be based on God's unchanging, perfect truth. It has to be. Can't do that. So may we guard ourselves, keeping based on God's Word. Not allow the false teachers or false teaching into our body so that we can individually grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ and we can hear Him say, well done, good and faithful servant. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, it's a powerful passage. Help us, Lord, first of all, as believers, to be able to recognize false teaching. And that means that we must know Your Word. And I pray that each one of us in this room will continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. We'll know what we believe. We know why we believe it. And we'll be able to recognize false teaching. Lord, we know it is there. You told us it is coming and it is here. And it has been here for years and years and years. May we be ready, Lord. May we recognize it. Second, Lord, may we guard ourselves. Please, Lord, each one in this room, that we would not be infected by false teaching. And second, as we guard ourselves and serve You, that we will not lose any rewards, but we will hear You say, well done, good and faithful servant. And finally, Lord, I just ask You to give wisdom to this body, give wisdom to the men You've raised up for leadership, that we will be able to guard this church from any false teaching, things that might come in, even as subtle as it might be. That we would be watching, we'd guard it, because we know, Lord, that You said, don't allow it into the body. And we pray that. Lord, thank You for this body of believers. Lord, there's so many in this room who love You, who live for You, whose lives count for You. I pray, Lord, as we go out in this community, You will use us for Your glory. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.